You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. On today's episode, we are bringing in a pair of guests. The first one will be Jeff Carr, the host of Locked On Reds, to talk about his team's surprising climb to the middle, which might be enough to get him into the postseason. Then Aram Lighton is coming back to talk about the Miami Marlins, who may also be in the playoffs for the first time since 2003. Remember, they're the only franchise in baseball history to have never lost a postseason series. This show is available on the free and easy-to-use Himalaya podcasting app and on all the sites where you get your podcasts. And when you're staying at home during these trying and, let's face it, in California, smoky times, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Fantasy Baseball with Scott Cullen, Locked On Marlins with Aram Lighton, and my guest right now, Locked On Reds with Jeff Carr.
How's it going, Sully? Thanks for having me, man. I am excited. The hashtag was take the central, but maybe we should change it to take second or take the wild card.
How about mediocre is good enough?
Oh, yeah.
Marketing. All right, I have their schedule in front of me, and the rest of this season has been a bit of a gauntlet. You've got the White Sox, obviously you're one of the best teams in the American League, if not the best. You have the Milwaukee Brewers, who have had a disappointing season, but are still a talented team and still have can pull a win off here or there. And then you finish the season with three against Minnesota, who is also one of the best teams in the American League. You got nine games, and there are no gimmies. They just swept four games from the Pirates and took two from the Cardinals. So they've been eating some of the bad teams for lunch. So if they're going to earn this spot, they're going to earn it against some good clubs.
They backed themselves into a corner for sure, because the beginning of the season, I think it was like, in the first 15 games, they had two series against the Tigers and one against the Royals, and everybody kind of marked that down as like, all right, the Reds are going to get off to this really hot start. But then they just didn't hit. And honestly, I think it all stemmed from the fact that the fans weren't getting their dessert fry box that they were promised. Mm-hmm. But that's really kind of what got the snowball rolling. Here lately, Shogo Akiyama has taken the reins that we thought he was going to, grab the leadoff role. The pitching has still been phenomenal, and it's just all kind of gotten put together. Now they got to face the top team. Like you mentioned, right now, at least as of recording, they are the top team in the American League, Chicago, the White Sox, this weekend. And I think Giolito is going to be one of those starting pitchers. They've got a talented lineup. So the Reds, absolutely, if we get to the other end of this and they make the playoffs, they will have earned it. And it's something that I just remember looking back. I'm like, okay, these are the games that you expect them to win. And whenever you expect them to win against the Tigers and the Royals and they split, you feel super disappointed. And then for most of the season, they've played 4, 5, 6 games under 500. And you're just thinking, they're just not going to put it all together. And then bam, huge winning streak, 5 in a row, 7 out of the last 8. And they're looking pretty strong overall with things starting to fall their way. They're hopefully going to get Sonny Gray back from injury. He's had a little bit of some back problems here the last couple of days. He is eligible to return on Monday from the injured list. They think that he'll be back then, and he'll be able to get at least one or more starts in before the end of the season. But just overall, it's been a really fun ride over the last couple of days from a team that I think most people were kind of jumping off the bandwagon because it was sinking. And for a couple of weeks, it looked like it was sunk, and they've really resurrected it. It's frustrating on one aspect because we expected them to do much better than they are right now, but it's at least fun because they're approaching that level of play.
You look at this team, I mean, a lot of things you could point to and say, well, they're having a not very good season from Votto, from Moustakas, from Galvis. Their bullpen is bad, and they are sub 500 with 9 games to play. Therefore, they're second in the National League Central. And as we're recording this, think about what you just said in terms of if Sonny Gray comes back. If you get into a series where it's a best 2 out of 3, best 3 out of 5, and you could start Bauer, who is a Cy Young contender, you can start Castillo, who is a solid pitcher, and potentially Gray, that's 3 pretty good starting pitchers that right. You could say, let's say you start Bauer game 1, you win game 1, and you put the other team in a position where they have to run the table in order to win that first round. The Reds are a very scary team in a short series. Now, they are, again, this is a sub 500 team that lost, what was it? They lost 5 of their first 7 games, which doesn't sound like a lot, except in a 60-game schedule, you multiply that by almost 3. Right. And so they have taken advantage of the fact that they've beaten up some bad teams recently, but they've also taken advantage of the fact that some teams that you would expect to be quality teams like St. Louis, like Milwaukee, have really not put it all together. And, you know, this is not a rebirth of the 1975-76 big red machine, but this is the way the playoffs are set up this year. And this is them taking advantage of that.
Everyone has constantly said, and it's funny because there's plenty of people on the fan base. That's a terrible sentence. There's a good portion of the fan base that have wanted the Reds in some fashion to move on from David Bell early on because of the way that the season was going compared to their expectations. But a lot of people were also saying, look at what the Nationals did last year. They came back from that crazy 19-31 record to win the World Series. It's set up again for a team that gets hot at the right time to go in, make an upset. Now, I'm not saying if the Reds get the 8th seed and they got to face the Dodgers in round 1, I'm definitely not expecting an upset there, but they can at least make some noise. And if they make it in, say, as the second place team for the National League Central, and then they end up facing the Braves or they face the Padres or something like that, it's going to be a battle. Those 3 games are going to be tough when you look at this pitching staff and this lineup that will randomly, some games score 10 runs, some games score 1. You just don't really know what you're going to get from these guys, but they've got the talent that you can't write them off completely. Their record would suggest that they're a pretender, but this is definitely a contender. And I know I'm a little bit biased, but I think they're a contender for sure.
Well, let me tell you something. I'm going to be flat out honest. I don't care about the Reds as a fan. I care about baseball, and I like watching good baseball. But I'm not sitting there. I don't have a rooting interest for the Reds. I also don't have a rooting interest for the Atlanta Braves either. As it stands right now, that best, 2 out of 3 series would be the Braves versus the Reds. Well, the Reds right now have much better starting pitching than Atlanta does. Atlanta has a much better bullpen and a better lineup, but their starting pitching, especially if Max Fried and Cole Hamels are not healthy in time for the postseason, aren't 100%, I'd take the Reds' rotation 100 times out of 100 over what Atlanta has right now. Now, that means all Atlanta has to do is keep the game close and then turn to a battle of the bullpen and the lineups. I probably would pick Atlanta over Cincinnati. But that being said, the scenario that has the Reds winning, splitting the first 2 games, when you have the starting pitching advantage, and if you could bomb their starting pitching and hand the ball to Bauer, who could go deep in a game 1, or hand the ball to Castillo, who could go deep in game 2, it's very easy for them to win one of those first 2 games and turn into a coin toss in a game 3.
There's there's a couple of guys in the Reds bullpen that I trust. If you get outside of Archie Bradley, Amir Garrett, and Raisel Iglesias, it gets a little tough. And it's funny because Raisel is a guy that early on in the season was getting blown up, like most of the bullpen was. But fans, like, just let him go. They're like, all right, we need a different closer. We're done with him. Over the last month, he has been nothing but a picture of reliability. And then Amir Garrett, he got his first career save two nights ago. It was a really stressful save because he was giving up hits, he was giving up base runners, but he got the outs that he needed. And shout out to Brian Goodwin and an awesome home run robbery. That was a great addition as well between Archie Bradley and Brian Goodwin by this front office. I think that they can definitely contend with pretty much anybody. I think they make the series interesting with the Dodgers. I definitely wouldn't think they would beat the Dodgers, but they look good right now. And ending the season, you almost got to like cut it in half. Say the first half of the season was a completely different team, and hopefully you get some of the lineup to start playing. And we've said this a lot this season in Reds country, but play close to the back of their baseball card.
Well, look at, they've got their mojo going. They got their mojo going big time. And it's fun to talk about baseball. But you know what? Sometimes it's not fun to talk about. I'm going to say it. And, you know, we'll get a good giggle, but I'll say it. Erectile dysfunction. Talking about erectile dysfunction is not easy, Jeff. Okay? And guys like you and me, we usually brush it off or blame ourselves and say things like, yeah, I lost my mojo. Or we avoid it, or we say we got a long day of work, or the Reds bullpen was bad. There's all sorts of excuses we have. But do you know what, Jeff? I'm telling you, with Roman, it is easy to talk about it. Do you know why? Do you know why?
Because they know erectile dysfunction. And when it comes to, you got low BABIP numbers and you're just hitting it into the shift all the time, Roman's going to help you beat the shift and get the job done. That was, yeah.
Well, do you know what? With, they have real healthcare professionals who can provide real medication, and it's simple, safe, and good for us. It's totally discreet. Now, let me tell you, with Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for erectile dysfunction and all the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan, and if medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with a free two-day shipping. This whole process, Jeff, is straightforward, simple, and discreet. So getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnMLB, and you can complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to talk about. But now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it.
Now, and what's the key there? They're going to give it to you. They're going to deliver it to your door. So you don't have to go to the store and be like, hey, that thing right there that's going to help me get it up. Yeah, I need that. Please let me buy that. No, no, no. They're going to give it to you.
Well, and eventually the stigma of this will go away, but you know, it may still be there now. So that discretion is something that guys like you and me, we will value. So here's what you should do. Go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnMLB today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOnMLB. All right, folks. Well, as promised at the top, we have another guest on today's show, and he is the host of Locked On Marlins. Has been a guest on our show before, but we're bringing him back because his team is still in contention. Aram Lighton, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, it's weird hearing that in September, but it's great to hear it, so thanks for having me.
Yeah, so the Marlins, they lost to the Red Sox on Thursday, but they are going into this series where they're going to be playing Washington, who have been struggling, to be kind, and they are just a couple of wins away. They are 6 wins away from making sure they have a winning season, at least. And because of the fact that the Phillies are in free fall, that they are in position, and the Mets, of course, can't get out of their own way, and the defending World Series champion Nationals are having a similar season to last year in that after 2 months, they're terrible. The Marlins are going to by all accounts, are going to get that second playoff spot unless Philadelphia makes a real run at them. So what are your thoughts of going into this interesting final 10 games or so of the season?
Yeah, well, you know, you really hope that the Marlins can hold on here. It seems like they should be able to. Losing that game to the Sox definitely hurts, but, you know, you got the 5-game set against the Nats, who you mentioned struggle, but then they finish with 7 games, 4 against the Braves, who, of course, are a tough team, yeah. And then the Yankees to finish out the season. And we know the Yankees are getting healthy, and right now they look scary. They're just hitting home runs every other at-bat, it seems like. So the Marlins definitely need to handle things against the Nationals, but regardless right now, I mean, the fact that they're playing meaningful baseball right now, the storyline throughout the season, it is so just amazing to see. And it's been a lot of fun. It just really hasn't hit me yet. And I don't know if it's going to fully hit me until, you know, they're playing the national anthem and they're ready for first pitch, you know, for the first postseason game. Even though there's no fans there, that's where it's going to really become real if it happens, because it's been almost 17 years now for Marlins fans waiting on a postseason game.
Yeah. I mean, there's good news and bad news if they play the Yankees to finish the season. If the Yankees have basically sewn up the second spot in the East, but don't really have a shot of catching Tampa, then you might see them pull back the reins. If they have something really to play for in those last couple of games, then that's really going to be, you know, chewing your fingernails time right there. I think one of the best things coming up this upcoming weekend is a huge series, not only with Miami playing Washington, but with Philadelphia playing the Blue Jays, and the Blue Jays are kind of licking their wounds after what happened against New York, against the Yankees over this last week. And the other thing working in the Marlins' favor is whether or not they hold on to that second spot in the East, which obviously they would really love to do. Obviously, they would love to pass Atlanta, but I don't see that happening. But if they can just hold on to that second spot, that would be great. But the other teams that are filling up the wild card spots are teams like Philadelphia, San Francisco, and possibly St. Louis, possibly Milwaukee, possibly Colorado, maybe the Mets, probably not. And so none of those teams seem to be able to get their act together. So like what I was talking with Jeff about how the Reds are in a good place almost by default, the Marlins are in a similar place that they have the advantage that they're ahead of teams that can't get out of their own way.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is with the Marlins is while they've been hot and cold, I think what's really worked in their favor this year is they haven't really gotten into a losing streak. Really, they've been able to snap it, whether it was losing by 20 runs to the Braves, the next day they win the next ball game. It seems like they're able to turn the page really well, and that's always important in any sport. But I think this year in the shortened baseball season, it's more important than ever, and they've done a great job of that. We'll see if they can turn the page now going into Washington, because, yeah, they don't really have anybody on their heels where it's like you're scared because you see them coming in really fast. But at the end of the day, if you're losing ball games, somebody's going to come up behind you. So the Marlins, I would say, control their own destiny, really. But it's going to be interesting after these 5 games in 3 days, really, where you can end up finishing where you're pretty comfortable heading into the last 7, or you could be, like you said, biting your fingernails going into a tough 7 games to close it out.
I've always thought philosophically it's better to lose like 20-2 than 2-1 or 10-9, because if you get blown out to the point where you're having a position player pitch, psychologically you can just say, we didn't have it. Our pitching stunk, our hitting stunk, we just didn't have it today. When you lose 2-1, you think, oh God, why couldn't have a hit fallen here or there? And to me, the worst is losing 10-9, because you think, oh, if only our pitching was bad, then we could have won that game instead of awful and horrific. You know, we scored 9 runs. You should always win a game where you scored 9 runs. And so for the Marlins, where they got the doors blown off of them, you know, I don't know if that really causes much of a after effect to the next game. It's like, we lost that one. We got the doors blown off. We don't have to say, oh, if only this happened, if only that happened. So it's easier to turn the page on a game like that. And I think you've seen that with this Miami team, that they've been able to be resilient, especially since they've had so many players. I've had to check to see if I played a game for them this year. And they, of course, had the whole outbreak at the beginning of the year. I mean, they've been able to dust a lot of that off and play competitive, good baseball.
Yeah, it's been really incredible. And I think a big part of it, too, has been having, for the first time in a long time, really good pitching, starting pitching. You know, mm-hmm. when you're struggling, knowing that you have Sixto Sanchez coming in to end that whatever losing streak you might be going through. If your offense is struggling, knowing that you got Sixto Sanchez or Sandy Alcantara that's going to keep you in the ballgame, like, okay, we just need to scrape for a couple runs here. We can do that. You know, it's not this, oh my goodness, we're pitching Jordan Yamamoto. We're going to have to score 7 to win, and we're not even doing well right now offensively. So I think that side of things definitely takes the pressure off. And now you mentioned how they were running all over the place and, you know, looking for players and grabbing guys left and right. You and I got a couple phone calls. That was one of the craziest times, probably the craziest time in franchise history. Now they have almost everybody together and they're finally playing together and they seem to be into a rhythm, but they were able to tread water during that time. So it seems like now everything is almost just more calm and nothing is insurmountable. So when they lose that game by 20 runs and then when they lose a couple games in a row, it seems like they're like, okay. And they come back the next day, turn the page, and Sixto Sanchez comes out with a great start and shuts out the Phillies in a 7-inning, quote-unquote, complete game. But Sandy Alcantara has come back and done the same thing. They've been tone setters for this team, and that's really what it's been. It's been the starting pitcher setting the tone. Pablo Lopez, I can't forget about either. Mm-hmm. He was the guy doing it when everybody else was gone. And, you know, that's it, really. It's been starting pitching and situational hitting. And I think this team just has a little bit of magic to it where, you know, just everything kind of has been going right for them when you feel like it needs to. And hopefully it can keep going that way. I will say, having a 3-game series, no matter who it's against right now, it would be the Padres, which would be pretty brutal. But a 3-game series, it's pretty stupid in my opinion, but it works in the Marlins' favor because anything can happen. You win that first game, your chances go up immensely, and you have your ace going like Sixto. You know, he has a chance to win you any ball game, no matter who you're playing. And then all of a sudden you need one more win and you just knock the Padres out. It's still hard. It makes it sound easier than it really is. But at the end of the day, 3-game series, a lot more can happen in terms of flukiness and whatever you want to call it.
Well, you mentioned Sanchez. Alcantara had a wonderful game the other day. And you look at Kinsler, Vincent, Garcia, James Hoyt, their bullpen has been pretty good. I just rattled off 3 or 4 names right there of pitchers who have put in some good innings. And Jose Urena, who, you know, he's only pitched a couple of games this year. He lost on Thursday, but he didn't pitch badly on Thursday. You know, he had the one bad inning against the Red Sox. And you take a look at this team. Look at between you and me, if it's a series between San Diego and Miami, I'm going to lean towards San Diego. I think San Diego is one of the most talented teams in baseball. But as you said, Sixto's winning his game. Like, Sixto gets a lead. You hand the ball to the bullpen. Next thing you know, you've split the first 2 games, and it turns into a winner-take-all game 3. I mean, as a Marlin fan, that's all you can hope for.
Absolutely. And that's the crazy thing is you just want to get the one win so you can make it a winner take all ball game. And I love that you point out the bullpen because that was probably the biggest mystery going into the year. And that was where the team was the most decimated when it came to COVID-19 and the outbreak. But guys like James Hoyt got an opportunity. He wouldn't have gotten an opportunity. And he's a different pitcher than he was before, where he's using this slider that he hadn't implemented. And now he's getting a chance to prove himself. He's been the escape artist for the Marlins. He's left runners on base 95% of the time. He's been able to strand runners. He's just been able to get the swings and misses when he needs. Yimi Garcia has been incredible, as you mentioned. And a couple other guys that just really seem to be answering the call. I will say the Marlins have also called up some pitching prospects that have been able to do some things out of the bullpen and spot starts. Braxton Garrett is set to make a start again against the Nationals. He looked great in his debut, went five innings, only gave up one earned run, struck out six. He was a former first-round pick for the Marlins. Trevor Rogers, another first-round pick by the Marlins, left-handed pitcher. Uh-huh. He was great right out of the gate. He's struggling a little bit now just because he's tipping his pitches. I think he'll figure that out. But those two guys might end up going to the bullpen when it comes to the playoffs. And now the Marlins have a couple left-handed weapons out of the bullpen as well, and that can also be used in long relief. The prospect depth is now starting to help them in the present, which is unique and unexpected because both of those guys hardly pitched in Double A last year.
Right. All right. So let me ask you the question here. Let's say you have a team that's been eliminated. The team you root for is gone, and you're trying to adopt the team to cheer for in October. Give us a case of why someone should root for the Marlins this October.
Well, I mean, starting with what we talked about with the COVID outbreak and just everything that they've been able to overcome in that regard. But how about the fact that the Marlins have never lost a playoff series, right? They go through in the wild card in 97, or that they go through in 97, they go through in 03, and they don't lose a playoff series, right? They haven't been since. I will say, you know, people like to make the jokes that there's not a lot of Marlins fans, this and that, but there are Marlins fans that exist, and they have been the butt of a joke for long now, and all they want is just some competitive baseball. And there's plenty of room on the bandwagon, and you can hop on, and it's just, I think it's trendy, right? Nobody else is doing it yet. It's not like being a Browns fan when they added all those guys, even though they're not good anyways. It's not like that. It's still like really, there's not many people hopping on the bandwagon. It's time to do it. But also they have some firepower, right? We talk about Sixto. This is a star in the making here. No one's going to replace Jose Fernandez. That's never going to happen. But he's the closest thing to that, I think, that the Marlins could get. And then how about just the veterans combining with the young guys? It's a lot of fun. And the team just plays with a lot of energy and a lot of passion. And they have just a great time playing out there. I think if you really sat down and watched the Marlins play, you'll probably say, how the hell are they competing right now? Like, how are they about to be in the playoffs?
I had that thought watching the Red Sox Marlins game.
Yeah, exactly. But you're also going to say, wow, these guys are having a lot of fun out there. And maybe that's why. They play with nothing to lose. They're fearless. They go try to take the extra bag. Sometimes I'm saying, what are they doing? What are they doing? Oh, wait, great job, because he's trying to steal third with two outs or something crazy like that. But that's just been the way it's going. Sometimes the scariest thing in sports is a team that's not afraid to lose, and it seems like the Marlins are not afraid to lose.
And I'll just tell you the other main reason, and this is especially for fans of big-time star power baseball and big market teams. Don Mattingly has never been in a World Series in all of his years in New York as a player and a coach. And he's never won a ring. He's never participated in a World Series. Even his time in the coaching staff with Joe Torre on both New York and Los Angeles. So to have him go to Miami, of all places, to get his ring, there you go. But I think you had the most intriguing thing is they remain the only franchise to never lose a postseason series. So keep that streak alive. It's like, we don't show up to the playoffs often, but when we do, we win it all.
Exactly. And that's a great trivia question you'll be able to stump people on.
Yeah. And you know what? Part of me would kind of like to see that. You know, part of me would like to – I have a soft spot in my heart for the Marlins and for their fans, because I think you mentioned it before. I talked about it in a podcast last year that I have a ton of respect for Marlins and Rays fans because they not only go through a lot of garbage, but they never get credit. People act like they don't exist. And so if you're a dedicated Marlins fan, you're a dedicated Rays fan, and people will laugh, oh, are there any? Yeah, actually there are. Yeah. And the ones who do, I would argue, are among some of the most loyal in baseball, because they could just stop rooting for that team at any point and no one would blink. So for the people who have stood by during the breaking up of Giancarlo Stanton and everything, during the moving to the new stadium and the whole fiasco of the Ozzie Guillen season, the death of Jose Fernandez, all these different things that have happened over the years, to reward them with a title. And of course, no one will say, oh, it's cheap, and it doesn't matter. Middle finger. you know, three titles, we've matched the Cubs total. So that's more than the Mets. That's more than the Angels. That's more that, you know, that's more than the Phillies. So, you know, just keep all that in your back pocket. I enjoy middle finger titles from time to time, and this would be a huge middle finger. So that's what pettiness is why I would be pulling for the Marlins.
I'm all in on that. And I can promise you that Marlins fans will be petty if they are able to make a run here, because they'll dig up the receipts. So be careful with what you say. I'm already seeing them dig up the receipts and just toast people. And they've been waiting 16 years to do it. So nobody's safe if you're going to be against the Marlins. That's another reason too.
Oh, man, that's great. Well, hey, man, thanks so much for jumping on the show for today. Tell people where they can listen to your show.
Absolutely. Well, Locked On Marlins, of course, where we'll be heading into the postseason, hopefully, and I'll have plenty of coverage on that. But also Locked On MLB Prospects, which is LO_MLB Prospects, which is all the latest on all 30 farm systems, all the top prospects in baseball. Just interviewed Pitching Ninja and some exciting minor league interviews ahead. So would definitely appreciate you checking that out as well. Thank you for having me on. It's weird to be talking Marlins, like I said, in September. So it feels weird. I like it, though. I'm excited. And it almost feels like Christmas is coming up for me if the Marlins can make the playoffs.
Yeah, get used to it, folks. And for everyone else, check us out on the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app. Check out all the great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Fantasy Baseball, Locked On MLB Prospects with Aram Lighten, who also hosts Locked On Marlins. And check out Jeff Carr, who was on earlier to talk about the Reds on Locked On Reds. Have a great weekend, everybody. This has been Locked On MLB for the 18th day of September 2020. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.